Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Tuesday in Excellence on FTRradio.com here on Gillespie. With me, as usual, is my co-host, Mark Warner. Mark, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing well, Josh.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we had a little chance to just chat. But
I know. We just never, I just feel like we don't talk anymore.
Well, you're always
You know, that's funny because I was sitting with Fingers, April, and Hannah last week. They're all... Hannah was in town for a wedding or something. I don't remember.
Okay, I don't think all of our listeners may know who Hannah is.
Okay, Hannah Drazich is on Twitter. It's H Drazich on Twitter.
Yes, she is a must follow.
Yeah, she is, and she lives in Montana now.
Well, she lives everywhere.
Well, that's true.
I thought she was based in D.C., but they have her in Montana at some time.
Yeah, she moved from Indiana to D.C. and then to Montana. So then, yeah, she travels. Like nobody's business. But we were sitting there last Saturday or Sunday at Front Page Sports Bar downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And Fingers, we're all sitting around the table, and Fingers is like, I just feel like we don't talk anymore. And I was like, yeah, I feel the same way. And April's like, we're talking right now. And he goes, yeah, but it's just not the same.
What is-
And I was just like, I started laughing, you know, and Hannah's like, yeah, we're talking right now. What, shoo, you know.
It's too funny.
You know, so we were having fun, but that was the day I got really fried.
Yeah, literally. And we're not talking about you being blitzed. You got burnt to a crisp.
I had water blisters all over my head for like 2 days.
Oh, that just sounds awful.
It was bad. I mean... I usually wear sunscreen, but I didn't think we were going to be outside, and we sat outside, and there it went. End of story.
Well, here's the real question that I have for you. Was Real Warner there as well? Real no. M. Warner 0003?
No, and let me just go ahead and say this publicly. I do not know who it is.
Sure you don't.
I don't. I seriously don't know who it is, but I think it's the funniest thing ever, and... You know, a lot of people have figured out that it isn't me.
And some people clearly haven't, which is even
and
more funny.
And some people clearly haven't after I've told them at least 5 times now, it isn't me.
You've told them to their face, which is even more funny.
In there, standing there while this person is tweeting, and I'm standing there talking to them, it isn't me, I promise you. So, it isn't, but I have been off Twitter and Facebook for a week now.
Yeah, you've been taking the why have you been taking this social media break?
Well, Josh, the crazy was killing me.
Mark, you're part of the crazy.
No, I'm talking about the crazy.
What, the just the real M. Warner crazy?
No, the Indiana Senate race.
Ah, that crazy. The incend crazy.
And you know what? I've pointed out to both campaigns, you guys need to just seriously stop it. It's like they're acting like a bunch of fourth graders on the playground. Don't call me that name. And okay, so Dick Lugar's campaign made over 1 million phone calls as of the other day.
So they tweeted out, yes.
So they tweeted it out. That's a huge number. Tweet it out. Brag about it. Why not? So how does the Murdoch campaign people respond? There isn't 1 million Republican registered voters in a primary in this race, but whatever. And I'm sitting here going, if you guys made over 1 million calls, you'd be bragging about it too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously?
I don't. Well,
I don't feel like this race has been about the issues. And right now, unemployment is high. Gas is $4 a gallon, please don't remind me of that. You know, there's hardly a lot of jobs out there. People are looking for work.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I decided the other day that I was going to talk to some people I know that don't pay attention politically and aren't politically junky like you and I are and others. So I said, so what do you think about this race between Richard Lugar and Richard Murdoch?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the one thing that I heard from a lot of these people was
what
they were like. We want to hear about what he's going to do differently than Richard Murdoch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Grant,
or you mean Richard Lugar?
Richard Lugar, I mean. And I was like, okay, what do you think? You know, they said, well, you know, I don't agree with everything that every politician does. I don't agree with the votes, but you know, I don't pay attention a lot. But I'm just tired of the silly, childish attacks on candidates
mm-hmm.
and elected officials. And I said, okay, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, they pointed to a couple races this past year where one guy sent out a mailer against another candidate or an elected official and just trashed him. And, you know, just a lot of voters want to hear about the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you. I like Richard Murdoch. I think he's a great guy. He's done a great job for the state of Indiana. But if we're honest about this, I don't feel like he's talked about the issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not Richard Lugar. Okay, I get that.
But he lives in Indiana, Mark. Murdoch lives in Indiana.
Okay, first of all, really?
What?
Really? Do we need to talk about that?
Hey, all I'm saying, I'm not saying anything else. I'm just saying Richard Murdoch lives in Indiana, Mark.
Okay, that's fine. So FreedomWorks is supporting him, right?
Right. Yeah, okay.
Endorsed the other day?
All right, okay, real quick. And I have to make this real quick because we're running out of time before we get on to our next segment. But FreedomWorks this week endorsed David McIntosh in the 5th Congressional District. David McIntosh, a former congressman here from Indiana, fine. He ran for governor in 2000, lost. But after that, he ran off to D.C. to become a lobbyist. He now owns a home in Arlington, Virginia. His daughter goes to a very well-known private school in Arlington, Virginia. He has a mortgage in Arlington, Virginia. Yet he's coming back to Indiana to run for Congress. And who did FreedomWorks support in that one? David McIntosh. Yet they are attacking Dick Lugar for not living in Indiana.
This is why I don't think it's a big issue.
It is. It's just
because there's people that are supporting Richard Murdoch and fighting against Richard Lugar for the same damn thing, but they're supporting David McIntosh.
I know.
And they're like, "Where's Tick of the revolving door?" Okay, really? Because if that isn't revolving door, I don't know what is. Now, I have nothing against David McIntosh. Okay? Nothing against him at all.
I personally like his campaign manager.
I do too, and I do too. I have nothing. This is not against David McIntosh. This is hypocritical of the people that are saying we're sick of the revolving door politicians, when we're sick of the lobbyists, we're sick of all of this, but they're going to go ahead and support a guy who left Congress, moved to Virginia, became a lobbyist, probably lobbied to Dick Lugar,
mm-hmm.
and he's going back. So then they're saying he's not establishment. Okay, first of all, David McIntosh is establishment as establishment gets.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Again, I have nothing personally against David McIntosh. I have no dog in this fight.
Yeah.
But that's a revolving door. And if we're going to point out the facts, let's point them out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just – I think that's where I'm at with this whole Indiana Senate race is I think Richard Murdoch's a great guy. I think he's being hurt by certain people in this
mm-hmm.
state.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're not helping him at all, and it's going to hurt him in the future as a candidate.
Well, I'm going to have to cut you off there.
Dang you!
I know, because you have so much more to say. But well, will you say it? We have future episodes to talk about this or future shows.
Yeah,
anyway, coming up next, we have Elizabeth Blackney, Media Lizzie, and then following that, our other guest tonight, IndyPolitics.org founder and local commenter on politics, Abdul Hakim Shabazz. So stick around. We have more coming up next. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRRadio.com. Stay tuned for more.
6 out of 10 Republicans recommend FTR Radio to everyone they know. The other 4 are rhinos. FTR Radio, online at FTRradio.com.
And welcome to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. With us this segment is a familiar voice and a familiar guest, one of our favorites, Elizabeth Blackney. How you doing, Lizzie?
I'm fantastic. How are you, gentlemen, this evening?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Mark, how are you?
I'm good.
I am good.
Good. Good.
I'm answering for Mark because I'm a rhino, and that's how we roll.
Yeah, you guys feel like you can talk for anybody, don't you? Forget the little guy.
Yes, we do. Thank you very much.
This is why I'm in love with
this guy. Is leading in a popular vote. Y'all can just take it.
Hey, you know what? When it comes down to it, you know, the popular vote only matters when, dang, it matters all the time. All right, never mind. Okay. Well, we've beaten you guys in a couple popular votes, and frankly, I have a feeling. You could be losing one of your rhino warriors in May from Indiana. So,
I know.
Yeah, so suck on that.
That's good. And since nobody in the conservative side of the party cares about foreign relations or Iran or seniority in Iran, I'm sure that'll work out really well.
Oh!
But, okay.
Oh! 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 Lizzie with the left hook.
I'm sorry, are they unfamiliar with the rules of the Senate?
Oh!
Oh! Oh,
this is why I'm in love with her, Josh.
You know, it's hard to argue with Lizzie's arguments. It really is. But, you know, whatever.
Okay, it's not always a perfect planet we live in, but, you know, if that's how people want to go, that's cool. But let's just be clear about what we're trading.
Hey, I'm clear about what I'm trading, all right? Because this guy lost my vote 6 years ago, so... long before he made so-called, you know, conservative-hating votes for Supreme Court justices. So,
right.
You know, he lost my vote a long time ago, and it had nothing to do with foreign relations. You know, I'll miss his leadership.
Well, because that stuff doesn't matter. I mean, that's just a rhino argument anyway.
Well, I'll miss.
We should just pull back from everything and go full Ron Paul, right?
No. You know, I have no problem admitting peace with Russia and totally disarming our nuclear facilities and everything like that, so that we're sitting ducks come the time Russia decides to say screw all you guys.
That is what I'm talking about.
Because that's what's going to happen.
I understand there are a lot of arguments against Dick Lugar being in the Senate. I get it. I understand. And he's done a lot of rhino things that are just even too much, a bridge too far for me.
Oh!
I get that. But, you know, I'm not willing to, you know, to give up seniority in the Senate, especially if Barack Obama is going to get reelected.
Yeah.
And if there's any possibility of that, I just don't think it is wise to give it up.
Well, you know, if we happen to give up on his favorite Republican, that's fine with me. Anyway, we
want... Oh, wait, I thought that was Patrick Leahy. Oh, wait, no, never mind.
No. He's no Republican, thank you very much. And maybe to the people in Vermont, but...
No, he did do some good stuff. It's just a few and far between. Oh, wait, that was when he was W's bitch.
That's... Oh, so he was a Democrat in name only under W, huh?
Yes, he was.
All right.
I'm sorry, how would you like it, Daddy?
No. Okay, well, I want to talk to you.
Indiana.
Greetings, Elizabeth Blackney. Okay, so I want to talk to you about two particular subjects. Obviously, the whole war on women. We've been covering this for a couple of weeks here on Gillespie. Because we think what the Democrats are doing is just... hilarious. But first, I want to get a few of your thoughts on the current state of the presidential race. Rick Santorum won Louisiana over the weekend, continuing his solid Southern strategy.
Which ends well.
It's Yeah, it's gonna end in a loss, but.
Oh.
What was that? A sigh? Are you? Is your heart mourning for Rick Santorum, Mark?
No, my brain hurt from the stupidity coming from his campaign. But anyway, so, moving on.
So, we can talk about Rick Santorum's war on women, or we can. Okay, so Lizzie. Okay,
don't draw dirty pictures on your Etch a Sketch, Mark.
Yeah, Mark.
Oh, you guys are no fun. I gotta shake this thing now and
yeah, Rick Santorum will come after you for that. Just FYI.
Yes, he will.
He doesn't believe in dirty pictures.
No, he wants to ban them all.
Yeah, I think you should have just gone to seminary and tried to run up the chain at the Vatican.
I think
it wouldn't have gotten him too far, given our Pope.
I think his sweater vest is just a little too tight. That's all.
Yeah, the whole Savonarola 1500 version of Catholicism is a little weird to me, and every other Catholic I know, which is, oh wait, why he's losing his own people in every single state.
But he won Louisiana. Isn't that a huge
Doesn't
Catholic
matter.
State?
He's losing Catholics.
Isn't that a
and
huge
so
Catholic
state? And so what if he won
state?
Louisiana? That state is heavily evangelical. Even the Catholics in the south, in the southern part of the state, he lost a Catholic. He can't win his own constituent. Here's the thing. We have to be intellectually honest about this. Everybody goes off on Mitt Romney. Well, he can't win the evangelicals. So Rick Santorum can't win a Catholic to save his life.
Now, hold on
here. So if we're going to be honest about it, then we have to use the same measure on everybody. And that's cool, you know, just so we're all clear about the Republican National Convention rules. Now, every contest prior to April the 1st, they're awarding 50% of the delegates.
Yeah.
50%. So, now, Mitt Romney, by my count, has about 560.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, for those of you who remember how this went down for Barack Obama in 2008, when they got to the convention, all of the states that had been penalized mm-hmm. and only had 50% of their thing, when they got to the convention, they restored all those delegates.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took about 30 seconds for him to be over the top.
Well, I mean.
So now if we get to Tampa and we did that today,
mm-hmm.
gee, I wonder who's at 1140? Oh, my God, it's Mitt Romney.
I know, but hold on here. Okay. Here's the thing about
having
Mitt Romney.
Having been set up at a convention, I can tell you that's how this will work.
Hey,
it doesn't matter what he did in Louisiana.
I, you know, it's not that I'm anti-Mitt Romney. I'm not, but I'm also not pro-Mitt Romney. I am not pro-anybody except Mitch Daniels, and the little short, bald guy isn't running.
Denied.
Don't get her started. Don't get her started.
Don't get us started. I mean, you got three Mitchies sitting right here with you.
I understand that, but she will go, like, I've been on the phone with her where she is, like, literally, I have to talk her off the cliff.
All right. Okay,
because he turned into his wife's bitch instead of his, you know.
Gosh. You know, I swear, you people are going to get me in trouble with people in Indiana somewhere, sometime. I don't know. But
I don't like his wife. I think she's a skank.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And she denied the United States of America because she wanted her time. Honey, your time. Your time was when you were screwing around on your man.
Okay.
Already had your time. He's ours now.
The thoughts and views expressed by Elizabeth Blackney do not express the thoughts and views of Josh Gillespie. Maybe Mark Warner, but certainly not Josh Gillespie. Anyway, wow. You're almost as bad as John Brodigan, I swear. Okay,
just saying. I'm a woman on the edge.
I hear that. I hear that because, okay, so the fact that you're a woman on the edge over Mitch not running means that you feel that this field can't win.
Yeah, I think Mitch Daniels could have won. I think that it would have been tremendous if he had run for office. I think that we were denied. And all kidding aside about his wife that I don't care for, I think Mitch Daniels' voice would have been a tremendous asset to the field.
I do too.
I think it is a shame that we don't have him leading the conversation about the finances of our nation and our children's future.
Well,
instead, we have, you know, a 55-year-old man walking straight into the media, mainstream media, running around the country with an Etch-a-Sketch thinking he looks cool. Dude, no, you're wearing a sweater vest and you got an Etch-a-Sketch. Who looks like a punk now? You or Mitt Romney? Come on.
Hey, Newt Gingrich is running around with the Etch-a-Sketch, too. I wonder if he can somehow...
Oh, is he still running?
Yeah. I wonder if he can sketch out his first two marriages and then just shake them away like he did, you know.
Yeah, before. Exactly.
Odd.
Yeah, but in Newt's defense, he already had his Etch-a-Sketch.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So, all right. So, obviously, you're picking Mitt Romney to be the nominee, which is basically a giant duh statement.
Yeah, it's not sexy. It's not news.
No, it's not news. It's not news.
That's where we all are.
But here's my question for you, Lizzie, and this will probably be my question for every single guest until at least the Indiana primary when I have to cast my vote for somebody. And why, if Mitt Romney is the presumptive nominee, why can't he put these people away? Why can't he put the Santorums, the Gingriches, the Pauls? Why can't he put them away? What do you mean he doesn't have to? He's spending all this.
He doesn't have to because we're not in that kind of an election cycle.
What do you mean?
It doesn't matter. A win is a win, and everybody wanting him to be their bitch, it's not going to happen with Mitt Romney. You don't become a billionaire by kowtowing to every individual group. He doesn't care.
What do you mean he doesn't kowtow?
He's focused on November.
He should not be worried about this
stupid crap that they're doing. It's beneath him.
Please, he throws his finger up in the air.
Shoot big.
He throws his finger up in the air to figure out which way he should talk.
No, he doesn't.
He has in the past. Why should we feel so confident that he won't do that in the future?
Rick Santorum does too, every day. And so does Newt Gingrich. It's all politics.
Hey, I'm not defending Rick Santorum or Newt Gingrich, because I, trust me, I'm not. But I'm just saying, if Mitt Romney is our nominee, how can I trust him to be a president if he's, you know, if he's flip-flopped?
Do you support Barack Obama instead?
Oh, geez. No, Lizzie.
About the Breitbart model. If you're not down for who our guy is, 100%, look, no, we're all going to, people like you, we're going to have to grind up the powder to make the Kool-Aid and pass it out to all of our Republican and conservative friends this fall.
Hey, Lizzie, I will vote
so
for...
We're going to have to start drinking the Kool-Aid and say, boy, this tastes good. No, oh, yeah, baby. I love me some Mitt Romney Kool-Aid.
I will happily vote for Mitt Romney in November. Don't get me wrong. Because I do not want Barack Obama as our president. But I cannot drink the Mitt Kool-Aid. I can't.
You have to. It's your duty.
Maybe in September I will. Maybe in September I will, but I'm not doing it now because I still have a choice. Sort of. Not really. In my mind.
Josh.
I want to.
She just debunked your whole heart.
I know she did, okay? Mark, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to rub it in.
I still have a choice. No. Wait,
no, I don't. No, I don't.
Josh.
Yes, Lizzie.
Honey, look, we don't have to like it, but we don't have to do this.
I don't.
That's the problem with being a leader in the cause.
I'm sorry if we happen to be
the
party.
You have to just go, oh my God. Look, we don't have to like it. It doesn't mean, oh God, I love Mitt Romney, he's so magical. It doesn't mean any of those things. It means my country is in peril.
Well, okay.
I'm not going to reward Rick Santorum, who really is auditioning for a gig with Roger Ailes, or running a big giant, you know, pro-crazy pack, or whatever it is he's doing. You know, he and Sarah Palin are going to end up making out somewhere. I don't know. Whatever it is he's auditioning for, it's not running the United States of America.
Well,
it is not being the commander-in-chief.
I'll totally give you that. I mean, Rick Santorum doesn't have my vote. He never will. I think the two people...
And neither does Newt. I mean, what? The only answer to this is, I wish Rick Perry had not kept Mark Minor and other people who failed him as staff on staff. The key is, if I couldn't have Mitch Daniels, I would have been perfectly happy with Rick Perry.
Yes.
He's beautiful, he's smart, he's hot, hotter than the center of the sun hot. And he was really good on foreign policy issues that I really care about. Israel, he's really good on Africa stuff, he did great things on Darfur, love him. But he couldn't make it, so it doesn't matter. My guy didn't win. So I have to go with what is the next best thing for my country. Who has assembled a team that is going to be capable of running the United States of America better than Barack Hussein Obama? Is that Willard Mitt Romney? Yeah. Does it mean that I have to be all in love with him? No, I'm not. But he's the guy. This time, this is just where we're at.
We
need somebody who's a good money manager.
This is the problem with Republicans. It's just, you know... Up next. That's all we play. That's the game we play. Who's up next?
It's not even that it's his turn. It's that he's the only person who is qualified at this point to you know, Newt's kind of, you know, megalomania.
Yeah.
It's just a little too much.
Yeah, no, you're
and
right.
And Rick Santorum wants to live in 1455. No.
Hey, speaking of 1455, I'm watching The Tudors. Rick Santorum.
I
would,
love The Tudors.
Yeah, my wife and I are catching up on that series. Quite interesting, to say the least. I am named
after the bastard child, Elizabeth. I am, actually, and her mother.
But she became queen, all right? That's what's awesome.
Yes, she did. And she is badass.
And probably one of the best queens, one of the best monarchs in British history. Now, how did we get off topic there? Anyway, Rick Santorum, that's why. Because he's...
Right, because he's living in
1455. 1455, that's right. Anyway.
Which is awesome, because he spent the last decade fighting against people who want to be in 638 AD. So, if he thinks that's just an improvement, he's out of his mind. No. You can't make me.
Okay, Lizzie. Lizzie, we have only a few moments left, and you bring tremendous insight, and I want to get your insight on the war on women. Do Republicans hate women, or is Ed Schultz just an idiot?
Ed Schultz is an absolute moron and a misogynist pig.
Ah.
He does not speak for women.
Well, no, he doesn't.
When he's got a uterus and he can prove it, maybe.
Oh, I don't want to ever see that happen. Because that means he can procreate,
either.
And
if
I don't want that.
If he's got a mangina, we have other problems on MSNBC.
Oh, gosh. Whoa. FTR is taking it this week. Lizzie is bringing it. Oh, see? There's no war on women here on Gillespie. Women control the argument here on Gillespie. At least they do tonight. Wow. Ed Schultz and his mangina. So,
there's a picture you won't soon forget.
No, there
isn't.
You're
welcome, FTR. You're welcome.
Okay.
I couldn't be the only one who had that in her mind.
Oh.
I just was willing to say it out loud.
I guess so. Okay, so seriously, though, I mean, this whole thing it seemed to start with Obama's so-called attack on the Catholic Church over the whole contraception thing. That's the way it was played, and this is how it seemed to be a contraceptive argument. But Nancy Pelosi has to bring this 30-year-old law student who feigns to be some 20-year-old who says that she needs $3,000 to get it on yearly and she wants it subsidized by the taxpayer. Naturally, like flies to dung.
Of course.
Whatever to bugs to a zapper, we flock to it and, well, we've been zapped. And now we can't get off this whole topic of the GOP's war on women.
Right. Well, there are a couple of problems. Our people have got to become more adept at seeing when this crap is coming our way. It's just like Rick Santorum standing up there shaking a stupid edge of sketch. Who looks like a moron, dude? You are Mitt Romney. You're the 55-year-old man in the ill-fitting sweater with an edge of sketch. I'm guessing it's going to be you, because, you know, we're an image-driven society.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like Rush walked into this and was like, well, she's a slut, a whore, a prostitute, blah, 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 whatever. You know what, dude? You walked right into that. How many years have you been in the business? Shut up. You didn't see this coming?
I know.
She's represented by Anita Dunn. Shut up.
As soon as
if she wants to go out there and say, I need $3,000 to get it on, the question needs to be, honey, you're a registered Democrat. Have you ever heard of Planned Parenthood? They have assistance for you. The next question that they should have asked in that hearing is, you're paying $40,000 a year in law school tuition. It hasn't occurred to you to maybe run down to the Walgreens.
Well,
do you have $40 for a BJ's card? I mean, no pun intended, but honey, they do sell condoms in bulk.
Okay, but here's the thing. The reason that didn't happen is because Republicans weren't present at the hearing. It was a speaker, excuse me. It was a Pelosi-called hearing because Daryl Issa wouldn't allow this kind of testimony, thank God, at his committee hearing.
Our people should have been asking those questions about the hearing. That's all they needed to say. Have you ever heard of BJ's? No pun intended. But, you know, they do sell condoms in bulk. I mean, we're supposed to be the smart, grown-up daddy party.
Yes.
So we need to give smart, grown-up daddy answers.
Yes.
You know, mommy and daddy have to talk with their kids. We all, you know, I've got a 16-year-old daughter. We've been talking all the time her whole life. I don't want her to be uneducated. So we have to make sure the kids understand, you know, there's a Planned Parenthood. If you can't do it, if you don't have insurance, you know, don't, I mean, you know, she's, well, she's 30 now, but, you know, up to 26, wasn't she on Mommy and Daddy's? I mean, honey, you can buy them in bulk. It doesn't cost you $3,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And as a female, I can tell you for sure that when they do prescribe, you know, birth control and other different things to help with female issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, with reproductive, you know, issues, whether you've got endometriosis or some other condition, they, you know, they prescribe that, and it's, you know, it is under a different, you know, I've had insurance my whole life. I turned 40 in June, and I can tell you that is a different deal than when they prescribe it just simply for regular care,
mm-hmm.
just to keep you from getting pregnant. Now, I don't know what her problem is. All I know is that Republicans walked headlong into the argument. And when you have people with antiquated beliefs, you know, Rick Santorum should be talking about raising a better generation of children,
mm-hmm.
raising smarter kids. And this is what Republicans do really well. What we should have been talking about is smarter children, informing them that, you know, that 70% of kids under the age of 17, according to CDC, have had some kind of illicit sex, whether it is, you know, traditional or non-traditional, they have had it.
Oh, okay.
So we should be talking about the smart stuff instead of buying into the stuff that makes us look like some 15th century lunatic that even the Catholic Church couldn't deal with.
I have to say that comment really just, you know, as a father of a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old girl, just really made me shudder. It's my little girls. Anyway, I know. The talk will have to come
it's
eventually.
It's hard. Oh, my God. I take no pleasure in saying it. But I look at my daughter's getting ready to, you know, go to Israel by herself, and she wants to study abroad in college and everything else. You know, it's, you have to have a very real relationship with your kids about their health and safety and welfare long before they get to law school.
Exactly.
The fact that this girl got to her age
mm-hmm.
and hadn't had a substantive discussion about budgeting for protecting her health is about her horrible family.
Mm-hmm.
That's not about us. And we need to be talking about the compassion of doing the right thing and not bringing life onto this planet irresponsibly.
Yep.
You know, it would be like if someone found out that, you know, Rick Santorum's been on this holy roller routine about, you know, pregnancy is, you know, up to God's will, and then someone finding out that he and Karen used, you know, I don't know, fertility medications or
sure.
something to have
yes.
half children. It would be totally hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be on point, you know, on both sides of the argument, even when we might be a little bit uncomfortable. When we believe in individual liberty and freedom, this is what Americans do the very best.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do it really well and we export the best part of who we are as Republicans and as Americans, there is nobody who can beat that argument. When we walk into the stupid traps that the Dems set up for us, the people who walk into that are not qualified. Mitt Romney has kept his head. Look, I'm not 100% happy with him, but I will tell you this. He's been steady, steady, steady. Everybody gets all up in a kerfuffle. He never puts his hair out of place. He just stays on track. He's been with the same woman for 43 years. They've been married, and they were together for a few years before that. He's steady Eddie. This is the guy I want. I don't want somebody who is hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
I want a grown-up.
And with that,
and that's what Americans do, and that's what Republicans do better than Dems every single day.
Mm-hmm.
No drama. Well, Obama will never ever beat Steady Eddie Mitt.
Well, I'm gonna have to cut you off there. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to cut you off because someone's gonna be calling in shortly. But
cool.
Our next guest, the talented Abdul Hakim Shabazz, a local reporter who is in the know about what's going on in, what, wait for it, the Indiana Senate race. That's right. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit more. So you'll need to tune in when this airs live, which, as everyone knows, this show is pre-taped. So that means I have to cut you off, and I apologize about that. Because as usual, you're bringing a very thoughtful and pertinent argument to the show.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks for being on the show this week, Lizzie.
You betcha. Take care, guys.
Hey, real quick, where can they find you on the internet?
At MediaLizzie.com or at MediaLizzie with a Y on Twitter.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, Elizabeth Blackney. We'll be right back here on Gillespie. You're coming up next Abdul Hakim Shabazz from Indianapolis. We'll be right back.
Leave me when I say you'll be last to know. Liar schemes and soul machines will hang me from my rope. I'm tired of running from what I was into it. I've become.
FTR Radio is from the right radio. Online at FTRradio.com.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. With us this segment is another familiar guest, is local reporter and blogger and all-around, well, political know-it-all, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, founder of IndiePolitics.org. How you doing, Abdul?
I think the term media whore is actually the one you want to use, but we are doing well. Happy to be here.
My guests tonight, I swear, they're feeling pretty free and frisky tonight with the... So talk however you want here, Abdul, our previous guest did. Anyway, so I want to talk to you about the latest polling results that that have come out. You've delved into them a little bit more about the Indiana Senate race between Richard Lugar and Richard Murdoch. The basics is that Richard Lugar is only up by 6 percentage points. He's below 50%, if I remember correctly. And Richard Murdoch seems to be gaining momentum with the endorsements. Club for Growth recently announced that they are going to be spending, I think it was $1.8 million in Indiana on behalf of Richard Murdoch. FreedomWorks has been here for a number of months. NRA recently endorsed Richard Murdoch. And Richard Lugar can't seem to shake the whole he's not a Hoosier anymore rap. Although he successfully deflected it in courts, except for the Marion County Election Board. But this seems to be affecting him in polling. What are you seeing?
Well, first of all, a couple things on the poll. I don't trust people who won't put out the details on their poll.
Yes.
And when, the Club for Growth people, they put out their poll, and then the Indiana Democratic Party put out their poll showing that Dick Lugar is vulnerable.
Well, that poll was Citizens United, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Citizens United. All these people start to look alike after a while. Citizens United, they put out their poll showing only a 6-point lead. Then the Indiana Democratic Party, put out a poll showing only a 6-point lead. I'm like, okay, but both of you guys have a vested interest in, going after Dick Lugar.
Obviously.
Release your details, release your crosstabs, give us the details. What kind of question, did you ask and that sort of thing. So that has me a little skeptical. I do know that next month, Brian Howie and some other folks are going in, and they're going to do a couple different polls. This will be the first independent poll we've seen in the U.S. Senate race. So I'm willing to put more stock in those polls than what's come out so far. And
now,
even if you were...
Question for you, though. Isn't Brian Howie sort of in the tank for Dick Lugar?
Well, no, not necessarily. The editorial policy may like Dick Lugar, but still, to keep your credibility, you hire, independent polling people.
Sure,
and
sure.
Even if you go back to the Wish TV poll, let's take it back to the, the Indianapolis mayor's race.
Okay,
The poll about, it was like November 2nd or 1st or 2nd, just a few days, about a week or so before the November election, that poll had Greg Ballard, 44, Melina Kennedy, 33.
Good point.
So,
yeah.
And, how did it end up? It ended up with, Ballard 51, Kennedy 47. And if you go by traditional polling logic, is that undecideds tend to break 2-1 for the challenger. That is conventional wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So if Dick Lugar was at 45, Richard Murdoch was at 39, go 2-1, Dick Lugar, comes out ahead 51, 52, the 46, 47. Now, granted, a win's still a win, but that doesn't necessarily help a senator, in a general election against Joe Donnelly because he comes back, comes out of it, battered and weakened.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think that if this stuff keeps up, the big winner in all this just may as well be Joe Donnelly. because
really,
the independent poll one I've seen shows Donnelly very competitive with Richard Murdoch, because now it's technically, you know, it's an open seat. Mm-hmm. And now you've got the floodgates of, you know, the unions and the, you know, National Democratic Senate Committee, you know, and the President of the United States coming here to campaign on behalf of Joe Donnelly, whereas they may not have done so, you know, had it been Senator Lugar. So,
well, the unions aren't necessarily too popular here in Indiana right now. Barack Obama certainly isn't popular in Indiana like he was in 2008.
But in the era of the super PAC, that changes the dynamics of everything.
Ah.
You know, now we form, some Hoosiers for healthcare, you know, super PAC, and then the unions and those of D.C. interests start bundling, you know, all their money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think that this go-around is a little bit different than what we may have seen in previous years.
Even, like, okay, so I think that obviously the most comparable Senate race would probably be the most recent Senate race between Dan Coats and Brad Ellsworth. And Brad Ellsworth and Joe Donnelly aren't too different in terms of their voting records. And that is
Richard Murdoch's saving grace, which is, you know, if you look at the last go around, Senator Dan Coats one-handedly.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's interesting you bring that up, because I was doing some research for a blog post a little bit later in the week.
Oh, I hope we're not ruining it for you.
No, not at all. You just basically reminded me that I got to get off my butt and get it done. But if you go back to the 2010 primary, mm-hmm. that actually gives you a pretty good idea of where Lugar and Murdoch's baseline potentially is.
Mm-hmm.
Because if my memory serves me correct, Senator Coats won the primary with about, 45% of the vote?
I think it was more like 39, wasn't it? I mean, it was...
Yeah, maybe like 39 or 40.
Yeah, it was, but it was under, obviously, well under 50%, and I think a lot of people presume that Dan Coats would be vulnerable in the general.
Yeah, well, see, here's the interesting thing. If you take Dan Coats was about 40%, I would argue those are your establishment Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is sort of that establishment baseline. That's 40%. Now, I would take Richard Boehner, John Hostetler, and Don Bates Jr. Those were your more conservative Tea Party, true Tea Party type candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And combined, I think they were about 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually, my hypothesis, my weblog, is basically going to be that probably the key to 2012, you know, where do those people who voted for Marlon Stutzman go?
Yeah, that's actually what I was just now thinking. So that would leave those voters.
Because if you think about it, they're enough of a, you know, they're enough of an establishment that they voted for, you know, someone who's well-established in the Indiana Republican Party, which was, you know, Marlon Stutzman, who was, you know, state senator, former state rep at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they just weren't quite comfortable to make that leap to Dan Coats because he'd been around for a while. So,
mm-hmm.
to me, the voters to look at, you know, look at those Stutzman people, you know, where do they go? Because that, I honestly think, will be really outcome determinative of the whole process.
Now, I would think that... just based on how the Senate race played out in 2010, at least the Senate primary, that a lot of those Stutzman voters, on the face of it, without really kind of digging into it, I would think that they would probably gravitate more towards Richard Murdoch. Yet I do know of some Stutzman supporters who are supportive of Richard Lugar.
Yeah. So that's why I think that, you know, when you look at the polling and everything, you know, to me, so the truth to look at is look at the U.S. Senate primary 2010, you know, when Dan Coats had that 39.5% base, mm-hmm. Hostetler 22, Bates 4, you know, it's a 40-30 split,
mm-hmm.
is where it is. And so the question is, you know, where do those Stutzman-type voters go? But that's just, you know, sort of me thinking out loud.
Sure. Well, what are the, just kind of looking at some of the other races here in Indiana, I mean, nationally, looking at the presidential race, how are those polls shaping up? If I remember correctly, I think Santorum was in the lead, correct?
I've been trying to do some checking to see if there are going to be any, you know, presidential polling done by anyone. And to date, no one has come out with anything. Now, granted, it's still, you know, the last week of March, we've got about a month to go.
Okay, I thought I had heard something that came out that said Santorum was in the lead, which kind of struck me as funny, considering the guy barely made it onto the ballot.
Yeah, and I would think that if there was a poll out there that showed Santorum in the real lead, know, here in Indiana, somebody somewhere would be blasting that puppy all over the media, you know, like it's nobody's business.
True.
You know, if that's what the case was. I mean, I think once again, it's a fascinating dynamic if you really think about it,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, is a Romney voter a Luker voter? Is a Santorum voter a Murdoch voter?
Exactly.
So I could easily see a situation where, you know, if Santorum wins the Indiana primary, Richard Murdoch wins the Senate, and vice versa. What's another thing to take a look at, you know, in all these Midwestern states, whether it's Ohio, whether it's Michigan, you know, whether it's Illinois,
mm-hmm.
you know, Mitt Romney has come out ahead. Santorum has only done well in the South, but, you know, they say the old joke is that Indiana is the most northern southern state. So where do these folks go?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it's important for people to remember, too, that, you know, most of Indiana's population does not live in a rural area.
Yep, Mark, you were going to say something?
What was it the other day? I don't know who said it, but Newt had someone on the ground. But who is Newt's chairman here?
Oh, that is former GOP chairman Rex Early. There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
That guy,
yeah, Rex Early is going to be chairman for Newt Gingrich.
Yeah. All I know is Newt is definitely ramping up his ground game when I start getting emails from his campaign.
And one of the things we're going to take a look at this week on IndyPolitics.org is, you know, start having conversations with, you know, representatives from all four campaigns, you know,
mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney, Ron Paul, Rick Santorum, Newt Gingrich, you know, to see, you know, what these guys are doing, you know, to win over, you know, those Hoosier Republicans. You know, are they going to be here? You know, are they going to, you know, do the television thing? And also, will it still matter,
mm-hmm.
you know, by that point in time? Because let's say we have been a situation, you know, between now and, say, the end of the primary, where it's impossible for Mitt Romney to get enough delegates to get the clear majority, you know, that he wants. I mean, right now it's pretty much mathematically impossible, you know, for Newt Gingrich to win the primary, because he has to literally run the table and get 90% of the remaining delegates. Rick Santorum would have to do about 70.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt Romney only needs about 50% of the outstanding delegates to, you know, clinch the nomination.
Mm-hmm.
But if he falls short of that 50, then we kind of end up in a, you know, a weird place that hasn't been seen in this country, you know, I want to say since maybe, you know, the 1940s.
Actually, I think it was at least since 1920, quite possibly. I only know that because it happened to involve my relative, the esteemed President Warren G. Harding. I used esteemed loosely. He was actually, they had a the GOP nomination went to convention that year with no candidate, and Harding basically won on the fifth ballot.
Uh-huh.
And so obviously I don't think we're going to be heading that direction. There have been times during this primary race that I thought that we might be heading towards a brokered convention, or some sort of runoff. And I think more and more that Romney is going to kind of wrap it up. But the interesting thing that you point out about the Midwest votes is that Santorum barely pulled off Ohio, and he probably could have won if he had been on the ballot in three congressional districts, which I find their ballot petitioning quite interesting, that, you know, you can be on in the state but be not on in a district.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Romney squeaked out Ohio as far as the numbers go. So, Midwest, and Romney barely won Michigan. So, it seems like, you know, I don't know, is it that Romney isn't putting in as much effort as he needs to because he knows he'll win this, and he's just kind of letting it fester or something? I don't know. It kind of boggles my mind why this is going on as long as it is. And
I think honestly, what we're seeing, Josh, you and I've kind of chatted about this, you know, informally before.
Mm-hmm.
It is that split in the Republican Party right now, between, you know, sort of the, you know, the moderate establishment, you know, the business wing, you know, versus the more, you know, social ideological,
mm-hmm.
Conservative wing. Because if you think about it, if you look at the way that Mitt Romney's been winning, you know, a lot of these elections, you know, it's very rare, you know, that he gets over 50%. But if you take Rick Santorum, if you take Newt Gingrich, if you take Ron Paul, they sort of take the other 50%. So that shows a clear split between the business establishment Republicans, you know, versus the more social, more ideological bent. And I think you saw a lot of that in Michigan. You saw a lot of that in Ohio, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how does that play out here, you know, in Indiana, where mm-hmm. you've already got, you know, the establishment sort of gathering around, you know, Mitt Romney, whether it's, you know, Dan Dumasich, Bob Grand, the senior partner at, you know, Barnes & Thornburg in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. Congressman Todd Rakitas in the Romney camp, you know, Mike Delf is in the Santorum camp, and, you know, some of these other things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I find it interesting, at least as far as myself as a voter, and as you said, Abdul, in some of our informal conversations, you know that I'm more of the ideological, conservative, social side, but Santorum is not appealing to me whatsoever. Gingrich had his moments where I was like, okay, Mitch isn't running. Rick Perry flamed out really quick. And Newt, you know, I can take megalomania. I have plenty of friends who are megalomaniacs. but he's when you tack to the left in a GOP primary to attack Mitt Romney, I'm thinking, okay, there's something wrong here. And so, I find myself, sort of candidateless. I'm truly undecided at this point. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. And, you know, Mitt Romney I don't see as appealing. I find that I'll probably end up voting for Mitt Romney in the way that they portray him on Saturday Night Live. When they're like, vote for me. You know you're going to have to eventually, you know. Mitt Romney, the meh candidate, you know.
And that would not surprise me, you know, because all along there's been that sense of, you know, sort of inevitability mm-hmm. and, you know, Mitt Romney's race to the nomination. So, like I said, it'll be interesting. And also, don't discount, you know, a little bit of reverse Operation Chaos. You know, with people kind of sneaking in other people's primaries and, you know.
Do you think that'll play out here in Indiana like it did in 08? I know that Republicans were all about it. I've talked to a few Democrats, and they're like, you know, some people want to, but, you know, we probably won't. Look at your primary. You don't have anybody. You have the Republicans. You could totally mess with this.
Well, I would also think that what made 2008 a little different than 2012 is, number one, with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. So, you know, the first potential female president, first potential African-American president. Mm-hmm. So there was that sort of history playing out right there. The other thing, too, was that was, what, the first time in how many decades that an Indiana primary actually mattered?
Yeah. And here, 4 years later, it could be happening again.
Yeah. I mean, I think here, and it kind of depends on, you know, where the delegates are, you know, maybe a couple of weeks out, you know, will Indiana matter? Because if it turns out it's a situation where Mitt Romney can't get, you know, to the 50%, we're going to get a broker convention, mm-hmm. then, you know, does that sort of, you know, soften the blow? But if he's got it sewn up, then does that keep people, you know, at home? You know, does anyone else implode, whether it's comments about Etch-a-Sketches or, you know, picking on the president, saying he's a bad father for letting his daughter go to Mexico, which, by the way, is not on the do-not-travel list.
Yeah.
So, there are all sorts of moving parts, which is, you know, what kind of makes this really fascinating.
Well, do you think that having the presidential primary matter in Indiana, what kind of vote is that going to drive out? I mean, I would think that it would bring out the conservatives, but which would not benefit Mitt Romney. But at the same time, he's going to have the money to spend here, and I think that there still are a lot of undecideds here in Indiana.
I think there are a lot of undecideds, or actually I would probably say there are probably a lot of non-committeds.
Mm-hmm.
Is probably the best term to use, because you sort of look at him and you're all like, is this it?
Yeah, I guess really? That's how I define myself.
Yeah, I mean, all I guess if I have to, I will, but okay, sure, get in the car, we'll go.
Exactly. So, okay, that plays out for the presidential race, but how do you think that affects the Senate race? Because obviously that's outside of the presidential race in Indiana. The Senate race is the race.
Well, I would, like I said, it kind of goes back to my theory is if you're a Romney voter, you're probably a Lugar voter.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Santorum voter, you're probably a Murdoch voter. And I think Gingrich and Ron Paul, those are what, you know, what they are.
Yeah.
So I would not be surprised. Now, and also what makes it interesting is, you know, the fact that Jim Wallace didn't make it on the ballot, you know, mm-hmm. also has an interesting dynamic because we had a primary in the governor's race. You know, who knows what that could have done?
True.
You know, to this dynamic as well. So my gut instinct tells me, like I said, this is just today, or it could have just been, you know, the bratwurst I had for dinner talking to me. Uh-huh. If Romney wins the Indiana primary, Luger wins. If Santorum wins, it'll likely go to Richard Murdoch.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Abdul-Hakim Shahbaz, founder of IndyPolitics.org. Where else can they find you on the internet, Abdul?
You can also find some of our work at Indiana Barrister, and also follow us on Twitter at IndyPoliticsORG. And if you're not a subscriber, for the best little gossip column that $20-$25 can get you, subscribe to the Cheat Sheet.
Absolutely.
I was just going to say that.
It is worth the two martinis that it cost me. So.
Well, Abdul.
Full disclosure, I am a subscriber.
Yeah. And we're happy to have all of you guys on board. So.
Absolutely. Well, Abdul, thanks for being on this evening.
Oh, no, thank you. It was our pleasure.
All right, that'll do it for us this week on Gillespie. I want to thank all of my guests this evening, and stay tuned for the Snark Factor coming up next. Don't speak like you used to. Where do we go to?